Live from the backstretch at historic Saratoga Racecourse, this is Saturdays at the Spa with Brian Natto. Saturdays at the Spa is brought to you by CapitalOTBBet.com, New York's premier wagering site. CapitalOTBBet.com. Sign up today. The new Capital Mobile app. Wager anywhere, anytime. Download it free from the iTunes Store or Google Play. And Pinnell's Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, just minutes from the track.
Good morning and welcome to Saturdays at the Spa. Brian Natto with you as we kick off our second season a little bit earlier here, a week earlier as Saratoga got started on Thursday, July 11th. Happy to be back with you, and we wouldn't be able to do it first and foremost without one of our key sponsors, Pinnell's over at 284 Jefferson. I can pretty much turn around and see it, so we're happy to have them back with us for our second year, and they've been a great supporter of OTB for many, many years. So happy to be with them. We've got a good slate on today. I'm going to bring Tommy Bellhouse of West Point Thoroughbreds in a second, and David O'Rourke, the new president and CEO of NYRA, is going to stop by. Looking really forward and appreciative to that, as a busy man these days, taking over his first summer as the boss in Saratoga. And then I'm really happy our last segment, Bruno DiGiulio is going to stop by. He's an expert workout guy. He's kind of like the eyes on paper that you might not see, and you don't get to see a lot of horses in the morning. So Bruno's going to stop by. We're going to talk about workouts. We're going to talk about two-year-olds, maybe any horses he likes. But we're going to start it off here in 2019 with one of the first guys I met in racing and one of the best guys in racing and one of the few guys, Tommy Bellhouse of West Point Thoroughbreds, Chief Operating Officer. And I was going to say, I was thinking about this earlier this morning, one of the few guys that might rival my old boss and one of my old friends and your friend, Sean Clancy, as the first guy here in the morning, maybe, at Saratoga on the golf cart?
Yeah, Terry likes to say I like to check legs before anything goes out to the track. Actually, you know, I love to get here early. That's kind of become a little bit of my trademark, and have my coffee. And there is a tranquility and peacefulness of being here and just spending a little bit of time before the chaos and craziness starts, which we love, by
yes,
the way,
well,
getting as many
right.
people out and involved in the game as we do. But we're really, really pleased. And I feel great. I'm batting leadoff with a couple of heavy hitters behind. We got the CEO, David O'Rourke, and then the legend, Bruno By the Works. So I feel like I'm 27 Yankees. I'm just batting leadoff here.
It's never a bad thing, but it might be a bad thing to always keep the phone on during Saratoga because you don't know when you're going to get the call. But we're happy to have you with us. We're going to talk horses in a little bit, but I want you to talk about not only what you do with West Point, but what West Point Thoroughbreds is. I would say you are the premier partnership in racing. I've got a list here of not only horses, but places you've been able to take clients. And I'll list the horses: Twilight Eclipse, Macho Again, Awesome Gem, Flashy Bull, Lear's Princess, Beating Rags to Riches, Ring Weekend, Always Dreaming, by the way. And then the Derby, the Preakness, the Belmont Breeders' Cups. The places West Point Thoroughbreds has been in this sport, will continue to go in this sport. And as a guy, and Terry Finley, of course, at the top of the list, the top dog at West Point, but where you've been able to bring the partners, and I know you guys winning a race is a celebration in and of itself. Talk a little bit about of what you guys do and where the spots you can put partners in.
Yeah, thank you. And it's, you know, this overnight success has been 27 years
sure.
in the making,
right.
You know, the brainchild of Terry and Debbie Finley. You know, what we like to really talk about is to try to provide an experience, an ownership experience that allows folks to get involved at some of the highest levels mm-hmm. in racing. I'd love to think that and our offerings, you know, financially will range in a wide variety.
Yep.
Some of our most successful horses have been some of our least expensive
sure.
horses. So we've given some people an opportunity to be on the Triple Crown Trail or to go to Dubai with Twilight Eclipse, like you mentioned. But it's really about giving them the opportunity to be inside the velvet rope, feel like the perks of ownership, and really just get more and more people involved in the sport that we all love so much.
109 stakes wins and counting, 11 grades ones, over $50 million in earnings. Very active at the sales here as well. What is Tommy Bellhouse doing? I know for the partnership, I know your list is extensive and expansive, but the race day, I guess, talk a little bit about that for what a partner has. I know you're, you know, getting tickets and showing sure. fans the races. What can they expect if they're a partner at West Point?
Well, the company now, we manage over 90 horses across the country, which is really quite amazing. Mm-hmm. I blame it all on Commanding Curve. I think when we ran second in
second
the Kentucky
Derby.
Derby with Commanding Curve to California Chrome, our visions of a small, smaller type setup really kind of went out the window, because it really changed how we look at things, and really having people not just buy into a horse with us, but really take emotional ownership of the whole stable. And you look at a day like today, we're running six horses across the country. Mm-hmm. We have two here at the Spa, which is unbelievably exciting. We'll touch on it in a minute. We have two horses at Laurel. We have a horse in a stake at Arlington. And we have a first-time starter that we bought at OBS that's going to run at Ellis with Dallas Stewart. So, you know, on a day-in and day-out basis, what we're trying to do is, A, in the morning here at Saratoga and at Del Mar, Jeff Lifson, my counterpart, and Nancy DeLassi are out at Del Mar doing the same thing, having our partners and our potential partners come out and enjoy the scene. It's the one great thing. I mean, we had Mariano Rivera here yesterday at the track. In horse racing, you can come to the coffee stand and meet the Mariano Riveras.
Right.
Of our game, and it's the thing that I've loved over the years, that the intimacy of racing, and there aren't the barriers that exist in other sports where you get to meet the superstars, and you know our partners get to meet the trainers, get to meet the jockeys, and really they have a lot of input. We use a contact management system called Salesforce Chatter that allows people to communicate with us, share their opinions. Now, Terry is the managing partner.
Right.
Aaron Burke now is the racing manager. But we constantly are getting feedback from our partners and ultimately our trainers who make most of the decisions.
You mentioned you've got a couple today. I want to get to, you got Originator coming back. I think probably one of your more exciting horses. We're going to show a video up here just missing in the Saratoga Stakes last year, the Coronation Cup. Now, she hasn't run in September. We'll get that video up here. Just to miss in the Saratoga Stakes has got to be exciting. Off the layoff, I want you to talk a little bit. You said Terry saw her live, because you do buy horses off the track as well.
Yeah, in addition to two-year-olds and yearlings, which are the lion's share of our class, we do occasionally buy horses off the racetrack or pieces of horses off the racetrack. This was a filly that was trained by Ian Wilkes, is still trained by Ian Wilkes, that debuted down at Gulfstream and just had an amazing turn of foot. And Terry was at the races that day, literally walked down from his seat and met Ian after the winner's circle and said we'd be very interested in taking a piece. If you see here, she gets spun a tiny bit wide, but she's just a running son of a gun. And she's had some minor little things that finished up her year last year early. But it's great having horses with Ian Wilkes, too. Just somebody who you really love to be around, him and his team. And and we're have high hopes for today.
Just a starting point. So I would think, bigger and better down the road. But the real starting point, I want to mention Decorated Invader. You paid some money for him in the sixth race. Another, I know your program, especially Christophe Clément, patient approach. Good to get started, though, I would think, at Saratoga.
I think we're all a little stunned that this is one of our first starters as a two-year-old. This was a horse that is very large in stature, was a horse we bought in the fall. Going down, all of our babies, for the most part, go down to Eddie Woods' place down in Ocala. And I visited there in December, and I visited there again when we were down for the March sale. And he was this big, gangly, gorgeous horse who really, from March and April, really started to come together. And when he got up here to Saratoga, one of the first horses to come up with Christophe and his son Miguel, who is his assistant, he's been under his watch for a while, has just come together really quickly and is a very impressive horse, not only on grass but on dirt. And the fact that Christophe says it's time and we're ready to go two turns.
Right, this early in the meet.
Yeah, very, very exciting. a few years ago, we had a horse named Untamed Domain that, as a two-year-old, we ran and won up here, went to the Anticipation, the Summer Stakes, and the Breeders' Cup. So, you know, this horse gives you a little license to dream like that as well.
Quickly, Tommy, before I let you go, we're always talking two-year-olds up here. You got one today. But any other names we should remember, write on paper, you're excited about?
Well, I think it would be remiss if I don't mention Chestertown. Mm-hmm. I mean, Chestertown is a horse that the most expensive horse West Point's ever owned. We bought at the sales for over $2 million. Chester Broman, who bred the horse, who usually has always just bred to race, stayed in for a large piece of this horse, and a number of our partners jumped in as well at the sale. So anytime you have that kind of excitement, it was a, it's a Tappet colt out of the Mike Hushin trained Grade One winner Artemis Agutera, who, if you the Naira circuit, you remember she was just a running son of a gun, and we're excited. He's up here at Oklahoma with Steve Asmussen, who's kind of the master of the Tappets. So sometime I'd say mid meet, you'll probably see him debut in a New York bred race, and then go on from there.
Quickly, obviously you're a guy that's at the track all the time. If people want to get involved, website?
Yeah, the website is, we like to think we're very proud of it. It's very comprehensive. www.westpointtb.com. And, you know, you can contact that through us and we'll get back to you ASAP. And if you're out here and you're going to be in Saratoga, just reach out to the website and we'd love to have you out and show you our operation. Meet the team.
Tommy Bauhaus, I know this one is going to hit you right between the eyes, my friend. A $100 gift certificate to Pinnell's. Have you ever been to Pinnell's?
Actually, I thought when you said that Pinnell's was the sponsor here, I was thinking, well, did they pay for my appearance? You know, but my wife and I love Pinnell's, and this is awesome.
Of course, just blocks from the track every day here. Great Italian food since 1922. Tommy Bauhaus, I appreciate you stopping
by. Always
a
pleasure,
my friend. He's here at the track early. He's here at the track late. See him, say hi. He's one of the great ambassadors for racing, too. So, Tommy, I appreciate it. It'll bring us to our first break on Saturdays at the Spot. When we come back, David O'Rourke, new CEO and president of Naira, overseeing his first Saratoga. Stay tuned.
Now it's a global series. The best racers from all over the world, the best trainers, the best jockeys.
You can get a free entry into the Breeders' Cup, and everybody wants to run in a Breeders' Cup race.
You get your travel expenses paid for the Breeders' Cup.
Automatic berth takes a lot of pressure off.
If we're considering two different races, and one was a win and you're in, and one was not, that would be the tiebreaker.
It's probably the best thing that's happened to racing in the last 10 years.
Breeders' Cup Challenge, win, and you're in.
Where's the best place to find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you where's the best sports bar in the capital region, tell them Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the clubhouse racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Birdstone is an outside front. They're coming down to the finish. Can Smarty Jones hold on? Here comes Birdstone. Birdstone surges past. Birdstone wins the Belmont Stakes.
In front, but here comes High Chaparral. High Chaparral, the defending champ, to take it to Papa. These two are travels head to head with Joe Hart bearing down on them. It's going to be a three-horse photo finish in the turn. Here's the wire. Photo finish.
Welcome back, Brian Natto with you. Saturdays at the Spa, our first show of 2019, as I mentioned a little earlier, but that's not a complaint either. Nothing wrong with an extra week of summer in Saratoga. And I'm really happy and thankful to be joined by my next guest, David O'Rourke, the new president and CEO of Naira, overseeing his first Saratoga. David, thank you for taking the time to stop by and what I know is can be a very busy summer.
Thanks for having
Saratoga.
Me.
Yeah, you are not new to Saratoga. You've been with Naira for since 2008, but like I said, it's your first summer kind of driving the train a little bit. So talk a little bit about what you're hoping and looking forward to as 40 days kicks off ending Labor Day.
No, hoping for good weather.
Yeah.
Looking forward to it. I mean, every day up here is great.
Yeah.
Like, the racing, it's... I mean, if you're a fan of the sport, this is the place to be.
Sure.
So who wouldn't want to be here for an extra week?
You know, technically numbers were down opening day, but I don't think that's a fair assessment because we're doing something we haven't done in years and years, starting on a Thursday, a week earlier. I thought attendance at 22,591 in Handel, I thought they were very solid numbers. Rain was here, sadly. You mentioned the weather. What about opening day and the first few days of the meet? I thought they were received very positively.
You're opening on a Thursday rather than a Friday. So, well, we're going to take a look at the first 4 days. Like, we think that's kind of a good measure to start with. Mm-hmm. But in the end, the numbers are the numbers.
Yeah.
You let them play out. You want to get too excited early. You know, it could rain for three straight days.
Right.
Or we might get a perfect meet in terms of weather. So the numbers are going to be what the numbers are. But if you were here on Thursday, which you were, everyone's having a good time.
Absolutely.
You know, got a little bit of rain. Yesterday was beautiful. Today's looking really
today
good.
And tomorrow look great.
So, what it's about, man. There'll be over 20,000 people here basically every day. This is going to be a good meet.
No racing on Mondays. I think that alleviates a lot of pressure all the way around. I think still 40 days, as you mentioned. How has the response been, not only to no racing on Monday, but the fact that we're up here a week earlier in a little more of a spaced out meet?
You know, whenever you change anything up here, you have to be really careful.
Sure.
We're up here because of the construction at Belmont,
but
it kind of creates the perfect test for this. Mm-hmm. The 5-day week, I mean, you work every race day, I assume.
Yeah.
I mean, it gives everybody on the workforce a breather.
Right.
That's important. Yeah. You know, it was actually tough coming up here from 4th of July, Stars and Stripes, get set up up here. Not only are we starting early, but we're starting a day earlier in the week, so there's less time to set up. Everyone got it done. I mean, the team, I can't praise them enough that everyone involved in that. But so we're going to know how it plays out inside the gates.
Sure.
The question is, how does it impact us, the community outside the gates? Because it's an ecosystem, the whole region, in terms of the track, the tourism hub during this period of time. So, you know, how do the hotels perform? How do the restaurants perform? I mean, theoretically, on paper, you get an extra weekend.
Right.
Looks good. Sounds good. But let's see how it plays out. So we'll be back up here after the meet, talking to the chamber, for instance.
Right.
And, like, you know, let's have an open dialogue. I mean, there's no reason to ever get defensive on it because it's just this has to work for everyone.
Sure, sure. You mentioned construction at Belmont, but obviously first and foremost here at Saratoga, the new 1863 Club debuted on Thursday. Yep. Talk a little bit about, and we've got some video of it here, what the 1863 Club is, what it's hoping to offer, you know, your customer and the vibe and how it was received over the first 2 days of racing.
The concept of the club has really been around since I got here.
Mm-hmm.
There was a master plan done 8 to 10 years ago on this property, and there was a tent, the At the Rail, that we're all familiar with, if anyone who's been here, on that piece of real estate. So it was really the logical place to build something, but what do you build?
Right.
I mean, you're building on sacred ground here, in essence. So a lot of planning went into the club. We had suites on the turn, so incorporating the rail tent, the suites, it was kind of a logical add. And then the club. The club was kind of the concept that got fleshed out over the last couple of years in terms of let's build a bridge across the path. Let's connect it to the boxes. You know, the At the Rail tent, the suites on the turn, they were nice in terms of their location. The amenity level that you can put in with temporary structures is not as high as a permanent one, obviously. And they were also kind of separated from the rest of the vibe, for lack of a better term. So we think the club is incorporates everything in. I mean, I was just looking at it across the track.
Yeah.
It fits.
It really does.
And once the patina gets on the roof, it's going to look like it's been here for
a
while.
And that's the gradual kind of fading.
Darkening,
of the,
okay. And that'll happen probably by next year. It'll look good.
A new word I learned this summer at Saratoga. I said to someone, boy, that roof is really, the tint, it's really bright. And they said, that's, and then I said, oh, that's what that is. So,
yeah.
Your predecessor, Chris Kay, was instrumental in putting in the stretch last year.
Yep.
And obviously now the 1863 Club this year. And I asked him this question, and I'll ask you. You're walking a fine line of keeping arguably the most historic facility in all of racing, but you want to modernize it as well. So I would think that's very close to the cutting edge. And how do you walk that kind of fine line to put something new in as racing adapts in a new world, but to keep the same kind of feel that you know that structure is?
First, you take a long time to think about
sure.
it for a long time. Now, even the stretch, because that concept came out of the same master plan, actually. The thought was to put another building beyond it on the other side. And the question, I can remember being in the conversation, was that was such an underutilized area of the grandstand.
Right.
85 to 90% of the
up
days.
That way, you're not getting a lot of people.
So why not bring the crowd back into the building and build something where people could have high-end amenities but not have to wear a suit, for lack of a better term.
Right.
You know, there's a demand for that, believe it or not. So it's time. You can't make quick decisions up here. You don't want to. Decisions that you make here are going to last generations.
Sure.
So,
you have a lasting impact.
And there's a lot of people willing to put their input and time into it up here. People are passionate in this area about this track.
And they hold it close to home, as they should, and they don't want sudden change.
It's a very powerful asset for us to have that. So anything that we do up here takes time. In terms of major capital investments, I think you'll see small things in the next few years, a lot of restoration.
Mm-hmm.
But we might have really grabbed the last major piece of real estate in terms of 1863, of dramatic
change. Yeah, you can only do so much to the plant. I mentioned you've been with NYRA since 2008, but you come from a little different side of the spectrum where what you were doing for them before. I know business development, the simulcast, very instrumental in the wagering platform and then getting the races on TV. I read when I believe it was Dave Groening you talked to that this was your dream job. Did you have an idea when you got this job and it instantly said, you know what, I want to do that, or that's the area I want to attack first? What was that?
It's a great question, because I did. I came from the finance side, the content, wagering, distribution. But once I was given the role that I have now, it's ownership.
Mm-hmm.
It's the horseman side of the equation. It's an area that you're around it all the time, but it was never in my purview to focus in and try and tackle some of the challenges there. So now it's like I have a whole new opportunity to learn something. And coming from the consulting background that I have, you love to jump into things that it's something that you have a lot of experience in, and you get up to speed as quickly as possible. But you have to make, you have to get a lot of input from people. And when you're making decisions, you're taking input from people who actually have the experience.
Right.
The horseman side, we're gathering some data now.
Okay.
We have surveys out, and we're going to do some focus groups on. There's two things. How do we make the experience first in class?
Mm-hmm.
You know, for people who own when they come to the track, and you know the trainers, that's their clients. So how do we up our game in that area? And the second is the economics on the backstretch in terms of capital improvements that we can do that might reduce the operating overhead for people like the trainers and make it more of a viable business model for
them. I mean, new owners is really what the game revolves
the
around.
The oxygen.
Right? And has there been a learning curve at all? Have you gotten positive
learning curve,
feedback?
Yeah. I'm like, right on. Well, the feedback I'm getting is at least I'm asking questions and people appreciate that.
Okay.
I'm taking in as much as possible.
Yeah.
You know, it's like drinking from a fire hydrant, really. It's going to take me a while to really have an opinion that matters in a lot of ways in terms of, like, my judgment, and I have all the factors.
Mm-hmm.
But I have people around me that have been in this game their entire careers.
Right.
So
that you can lean on.
This is fun. I mean, this is, you know, it's learning something new, at 45 is fun.
Well, in summer, and it should be fun. And summer in Saratoga and those kind of things. From a wagering perspective, and I'm a handicapper, I thought it was great that you reopened the Pick 5 to nationwide. Was there an overriding reason? And I think it's been received very well, certainly. The fact that now everyone, you know, nationwide can fire on that late pick five.
Yeah, I'll give you the history of it. We had the early pick five, and that was about a lower takeout bet.
15%, right.
And you're always worrying about cannibalizing another pool.
Sure.
Because some of them are, like, the late pick four is one of our most successful pools.
Right, and I would think the early pick four has suffered a little bit, correct?
It's incremental from the data that we have, but yeah, there is some cannibalization. Mm-hmm. But you're also making these changes in a methodical manner. You're not just, otherwise you can't really measure what happened.
Sure.
In terms of the late pick five, there was a conversation with Tony Alabato around Naira Betts, and we wanted to put the product in, but we were concerned about its impact on the late pick four. So there was a suggestion, like, hey, why don't we launch it as sort of an exclusive bet, keep it very retail, look at the pricing differential between the pick four. So we did that, and it worked well because we had launched Naira Betts at the same time. It played out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at some point, it's like, let's find a new trick. Let's open this bet up. It's obviously very popular. We did that. And now it's like, what do we move on to next? How do we focus? You know, Naira Betts, a lot of the focus on the marketing for that is on the television, the Fox shows.
The other one, I read some comments and quotes. The pick six will be changing. And I know the in vogue thing is the jackpot pick six. I always felt... Saratoga, obviously California's a different animal. They love their pick six out there, but I thought it was healthy up here, but it sounds like at some point in time you will shift or at least introduce a different pick six up here.
Well, we've been working for a while to get the jackpot.
Okay.
I think we're going to call it the Empire pick six,
okay.
But it's a jackpot pick six implemented, and we have a group in Naira internally that that's all they think about is wagering.
Yeah, sure.
So this dialogue goes on for, you know, 6 months, and ask Andy, and then there's a core group that love this, and we discuss it all the time.
Right.
Like I was talking about, it's dinner last night. So the thing is, the demand out there is for this pick six, low denomination, high payout
bet.
However, now you have this classic pick six, a $2 bet that has, you know, very core group of players.
Yes. And now Saratoga, or Naira, I should say, is one of the... Is it the only?
It's the only one that I'm aware of.
Right? Yeah, the $2 pick six.
You know, my question is, can you have both?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you don't want it to confuse people.
Right.
Though. So what I actually found out recently is, like, if you were to do both bets, because they're different on the parimutuel back end, in terms of the calcs, you can't have them on the same card.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, that's not the worst thing in the world. Like,
all right,
so we put an Empire pick six out there. That's a very, like, retail-focused bet. It's cool. It's like a lottery ticket. And you can handicap it 20 cents. If you had a separate classic pick six on a separate card, that customer's probably not... They're going to be able to find it. They know what they're doing.
Yes, they know what they're doing. Right.
So,
is it a drop down or what?
So why... Maybe we just leave it and let them have their pool. But, you know, some operational challenges to that. But I'm kind of pressing a little bit to see, like, you know, figure it out.
And you... Belmont Friday, Stakes Friday, I believe, you debuted that... $600,000 in handle, I think, on the 20-cent bet.
I think we're going to do it again.
Okay.
Actually,
I mean, why wouldn't you, right?
Yeah, the Derby to the Saratoga.
Sure.
To Whitney. That seemed to play out really
cool. Right.
These things are fun.
Yes.
Like, would you like to engage, have people engage in your content? But they're fun, these cross-country pick fours.
Yeah, you're doing a lot of that. People want to bet.
They want to bet. Can you mix it up a little
bit?
Give them some content that they can... Maybe we can introduce them to some other content, you know, with ours.
Right.
So, you know, that's what it's about. It's an entertainment product.
And I think Saratoga, especially with the deep fields, the competitive fields, it is an ideal testing ground for stuff like this.
That's why we'd like to try the jackpot while we're up here, but, you know, we'll find out.
Yeah.
What would you want to do?
What would I want to do? I am a traditionalist. I think I saw it the other day. The handle was very solid, but I do like the traditional pick six in that it can still get big up here. You know, I don't want to see a $12,000 carryover on Thursday at Aqueduct. I think that's different. But I think up here, I think it still does have merit. But with that being said... you know, people want to chase the big pot at the end of the rainbow.
Would you change the base?
Would I change the... I think a dollar would be
Yeah.
I think a dollar might be the magic number.
You have to have a bankroll to get
you
in.
You do have to have a bankroll. There's no doubt about that. The $2 pick six, and you know, things go up exponentially when you're playing that.
Yeah.
I think the dollar might be the perfect middle ground. But again, there's a fine line to that too. I think there is something to be said, especially at Saratoga, where a lot of your betting handle is a casual bettor.
Yeah.
You are probably getting, I don't even have 15% of the handle on a $2 pick six from the people hanging out in the picnic area, or you know,
having a beer.
Yeah, but if you open that up to a 20-cent bet, picnic table of 10 people drinking their beer in the backyard is taking $20 from every person, and here's your ticket. And I think the 20-cent bet gives you so much bang for your buck too.
Well, yeah, because I came into this from the outside. So one of the things I've noticed with the low denomination bets, because you know, I'm thinking of it as an entertainment product in a lot of ways.
Right.
You're alive, like let's just say it's five races or six races, but you're alive through four or five of them.
Yeah.
I mean, how exciting is that?
It's huge.
And you know, that's part of the experience.
Yeah.
And with the 20-cent base, it's easier to get that.
And you know, Saratoga is unique in and of itself, as you know, with the backyard, with families, with people. You know, there's not two people sitting in the backyard. There's groups of 10 people, and then, you know, you get that aspect of it, and everybody puts $20 in, and all of a sudden, I do think there is a place for that. I think it's interesting that you are thinking really outside the box. Is there a place for both of them as well? And I think
it's a different client.
It is a different client. It's absolutely a different client. I have friends that say, why don't we, you know, even the pick four now has lost that air, that aura of wow, I can hit for $10,000 because the 50 cents lets everybody in. I've had people think really outside the box and say, "What if they did that for a $2 bet too?" Again, they're different groups that are interested in those kind of plays.
Well, Travis Stone once said, "One out of $10 double."
Yeah,
yeah, you know what I mean. I'm like, that's interesting because it was like, you know, it's a kind of a there's. The best thing about Parimutuel is you can play around with the menu. As long as you leave the core alone, like adding an additional pool, you're going to see what happens. It doesn't usually hurt. Mm-hmm.
I know we'll get you out of here in a second. I know you sat in on some of the sports betting meetings downstate. It's kind of close to our heart here because it's coming in Schenectady in Rivers Casino down there. Do you see a future where the racetrack where they kind of meet a little bit and have a partnership?
Yeah, and it's
important.
It can play out in different ways than the affiliate model. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you guys had understood what that would do. But as a content producer, as a track, we firmly believe that sports betting is going to broaden the market.
As it should.
You know, now you have all these other products on the store shelf.
Right.
We think racing fits right in there. We're in sports betting. I mean, so we think we fit right in there. So I want to be in the business.
Right.
This is good.
Yeah.
Like, this is going to be a good thing.
They do, you know, they do go hand in hand. I always think, you know, I play a lot of poker. You sit at a poker table. Typically, there's three or four guys with a racing form and stuff. These are things that should intertwine with each other, I would think. And I would think there's a market there going forward. And frankly,
it opens
you
us up to demos,
right?
To more demos.
Yeah.
Like, you know, somebody might be interested in football. They want to bet football. Well, if we're in that, if we're on that platform, you know, Saratoga rolls around. They have an account already. Because right now we've been trying to pull people in. Once we get them in the gates here, it's an easy sell.
It's an easy sell. You have to get them here, though. Sure.
But to get them online to bet just horse racing, that's a little bit more of a niche customer. Now, if you're offering all other sports or some other platform is, we think our content really competes well, and it's a really good wagering product.
2 days down, 38 to go. Yeah. We've got a great Diana today. I want to say first and foremost, congratulations, but thank you for taking the time. Summer in Saratoga can be pretty hectic, especially first year on this job. So David O'Rourke, thanks so much for stopping by. I really appreciate it. David O'Rourke, new president and CEO of NYRA. That will bring us up to our second break here Saturdays at the Spa. When we come back, Bruno DiGiulio stopping by. Stay tuned.
In a recent study of some of the top online wagering sites, Capital OTB won big in total player rewards, far surpassing some of the best-known wagering sites in America. While other rewards programs simply offer you points redeemable for gift cards, Capital OTB's rebates are paid to you in actual cash. Plus, Capital OTB gives you full and immediate access to your money. So if all you're getting now are points and gift cards, join Capital OTB Player Rewards today and get cash back. Visit CapitalOTBBet.com and sign up today. No matter where in the world you are, the excitement of wagering on horse racing is just a click away. You'll get live streaming, past performances, race replays, our virtual tote board, analysis and selections from professional handicappers, a simple, safe, and secure wagering platform, and best of all, you get track prices. CapitalOTBBet.com. Bet any place, anytime at CapitalOTBBet.com. And be sure to download our new mobile app from the iTunes Store or Google Play.
Come on.
I want sales reports on my desk by Monday.
Whoops. My bad.
Love racing? RTN brings you every live simulcast on your home television, plus live video streaming and race replays on your PC and mobile devices. To order, visit RTN.tv. RTN, a breed apart.
Welcome back, Brian Addo, with you. Saturdays at the Spa, our first of the meet. And I can't say thanks enough for Dave O'Rourke for taking the time to stop by. And I don't want to speak for everyone watching, but I thought he was absolutely great. I thought he was on the, you know, on the cusp, but understood what's going on here in Saratoga, not only from a customer fan appreciation perspective, but from the wagering perspective too. And you know, let's just be honest, the betting dollar is what drives our sport. And I really, just sitting here listening to him, you could tell not only does he know what he's talking about, but he knows what the fans want and what to give them. And it sounds like we're really, you know, Saratoga, Naira in general, but here at Saratoga, it's an exciting time, and we're in a good place because, you know, some new innovative wagers are coming out, and it really just seems like, you know, as he left the chair here, he knows what's to do and what's happening here, and I really look forward to his reign here at Naira because, Dave, like I mentioned, from that other side, from that simulcast, from that wagering, from that television perspective, I think he's got a really good feel. So, you know, stay tuned at Saratoga. We talk late pick five and then the upcoming pick six in some way, shape, or form. We've got Bruno DiGiulio on his way here, just getting done with turf works over across the street. So I want to talk a little bit. I mentioned it earlier and I mentioned it throughout. It's a phenomenal running of the Diana today, and it's a fascinating race in that there's only six horses. You know, from a pace dynamic, there's a lot going on because we've got Peter Brandt's tie down inside for Chad the Rabbit. Let's just be honest, blinkers go on, she's here to set an energetic pace for stablemates Sister Charlie and Homerique. But we're going to bring up video of Rushing Fall winning the Just a Game at a snappy one turn mile at Belmont Park. And we're going to pick it up on the backstretch, I believe. And here she is. Here's Daddy is a Legend, who I like this day for George Weaver. Really making Rushing Fall earn it. And Javier Castellano was an expert here. Wrote a great race. Saved a little bit in the stretch. Poor Daddy is a Legend. I kind of fear she got her heart broken here because it looked off the turn like she was going to win. And she tried to win this race. And what happened was she lost second because of it. And that's Bo Recall closing late. Rushing Fall wants to beat you. She's 8-for-9. She's done it on the lead in three straight. She will not do it on the lead today. And that's where the race dynamics of the Diana come into play. And it's a cat and mouse jockeys game. She's rated in the past. She's going to have to do it here. I want to bring up video now of Homerique winning the New York. I love this filly today. We've got Bruno off the air. We're going to get to him in a second. I love Homerique today. It's the acid test. Here she is coming up. Where is she? She's still threading her way through down inside. I thought this race was phenomenal from her perspective that she didn't get a lot of run here. She only ran about a furlong this day. She comes through, loads up late, fires hard late, and a comfortable winner over a stablemate competition of ideas. You see, she's got a little left. Like I said, she steps up today. Quickly, I want to pull up Sister Charlie as well, winning the Breeders' Cup. It's her first start, and that was in November when she won the Breeders' Cup at Churchill Downs. So it's going to be her first start. Here she is getting up late, cementing a championship, defending race winner, by the well, of the Diana. Seems to have this race over a barrel. I know Sully likes Mitchell Road. I have respect for her. I have respect for Graham Motion. He's been second in this race five times. I think this is Chad's race to lose, but it's just a matter of who you like amongst his big three. Three absolute superstars. One more quick break here on Saturdays at the Spa, our final one. When we come back, we've got Bruno Giulio here. Clocker extraordinaire. He's going to talk a little bit about workouts, some spot plays today, as well as horses he's seen here on the grounds. Stay tuned. Right back with Bruno DiGiulio.
All right.
Hey, buddy. Thank you.
As an owner, I love the Breeders' Cup Win and You're In Series.
To win one of these challenge series is a way that we kind of map out our schedule throughout the year with our horses.
If you win one of the challenge races, you have a very good horse.
The King George, which is our Win and You're In race, provides the top middle distance horse in Europe. We saw Highland Reel running both races.
We know when we show up at the Breeders' Cup, we've got the world to beat, not just everybody in the United States. Breeders' Cup Challenge, win and you're in.
Where's the best place to find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you where's the best sports bar in the capital region, tell them Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the clubhouse racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Saturdays at the Spa, year two, a little early this year, Diana Day at Saratoga. And if you were with us last year, I thought we had some good pieces that were maybe a little outside the box. We had Travis Stone stop by, talked about race calling, and we got a perspective of him in the booth for the Kentucky Derby, kind of what he does. My good buddy John Panagot was here as well, the jockey's agent for Javier Castellano, and he kind of talked about the ins and the outs of getting mounts and what goes on, kind of that. I think, especially that, it's one of those things where, you know, the casual race fan, honestly, even myself, they don't really get that perspective ever, for that matter, and they don't know what goes on. And I'm going to bring my next guest in. Bruno DiGiulio joins us here on Saturdays at the Spa, and he's a clocker extraordinaire. Bruno with the works is a very well-received product. And I think, Bruno, you fit in that Travis, John, Bruno group because you're really doing something that, A, very few people do, and B, I would say maybe even lesser, kind of know what they're doing. I mean, looking at a horse in the morning and getting a feel for how they are training, how they are coming into a race, how they are coming into their first start.
Well, it's been a work in progress for 35 years.
Yeah.
You never stop learning. You always learn in this game. It's a wonderful game. I'm blessed to be able to get up at 4:30 every morning and get to the track here. And like this morning, we had just started right off the bat. We had a ton of works, and it just kept going from Oklahoma to the main, back to the Oklahoma, back to the main, to go to the turf. So it's a work in progress. And you know, the one thing I can share with this other gentleman is that we have a passion and love for the game. I love what I do, and the horses are the reason why I'm here.
Talk a little bit about your operation. I know it's not just you. You have other eyes, but like you said, you're up at 4:30. You're looking at upwards of hundreds of horses a day, yeah. Charting them, taking down not only their times, obviously, but how they're moving in coming into a race. And you know, I always say this as a novice, you know, we talked about this the other night. Any horse can work fast, but it's how they do it. And you shared a story about a horse, and just how horses are doing it is got to be, with your eyes, a big part of what you do.
Well, I train all my staff. Mike Miaskis works with me here. I have other guys that work across the country for me. And I train all of them. And what I want them to do is not look at the stopwatch as much as I think 1994 is when Arazi ran in the Derby. Mm-hmm. And Francois Bouton, who I believe trained Arazi, said American trainers spend too much time looking at the stopwatch and not enough at the horse. Mm-hmm. Well, I think that doesn't give a lot of credit to how good the American trainers are, but I think he's right. And to some point, you have to look at the horse instead of your stopwatch. I've looked at horses go 59, and I hated the work. I've seen horses going 59, and then when they come back, and if I can share the story, last year here on August 8th, a horse named Boldor worked 59 out of the gate. Worked hard with 45 and 4, 59, galloped out great. Comes back underneath us, and I was there with my two main guys, and they're like, oh, you got to like that work. And I'm watching the horse down below me, and his eyes are bugging out. His nostrils are flaring. His head is down, and I'm like, he's done. Mm-hmm. This horse right now, he is completely over the top. That work blew his mind. And understanding and not only looking at the horse itself, but actually watching him and knowing the Steve Asmussen,
right.
Understanding and interpreting the Steve Asmussen shed row, I knew that Steve would see the same thing. Guess what? He doesn't run back to Keeneland, and we got $10 mm-hmm. on him after he was working 14-101, because Steve learned that if I go try and work that horse hard and do that, he'll back up on me, so I'll just get him fit. I know what he can do, and sure enough, he beat a horse of Larry Jones that day, Super Steed, and paid $10, and I think I hit the pick four that day for $6,000. That's the little kind of information,
well, right.
By just paying attention to what you're seeing, other than looking at a stopwatch and looking at the horse the way he acts.
Because you see the racing form on paper, that looks like a really sharp work, but you were there to see it, and again, that's the biggest edge that I think your product has, that, you know, yeah, it looked fast on a few numbers, but I saw it. Maybe it's not exactly what you're seeing on paper.
It was a 59 that the horse didn't come back to work for a month.
Right.
So people would look at it and say, well, he worked 59. He must have gotten hurt. I thought it was more mental mm-hmm. with the horse. And Steve is such a good horseman.
Right.
I think he is the top horseman in the country. They do things that absolutely blow your mind. I'll give you another example. Brian House, a name that nobody really knows. At Saratoga at Churchill in September, horse worked 33-1. I had him galloping out 59-1. Again, horse doesn't show up. Something happened. Two-year-old, Buck Shins, comes back at Keeneland off a 102 work where he finished in 24. He pays $20 and keeps a $100,000 pick six for a client. So things like that, when you're looking at horses, and it's not about what just they're doing here. It's what they've done as it's an embodiment of the entire pattern that really entices me.
Your product is definitely picked up steam, I think, as workouts have gotten more, like I mentioned earlier, in vogue. What are you looking for as you see a horse in the morning? You know, a guy, like I mentioned, more of a novice like me, okay, goes out, sees a horse work, looks fine. You know, I've always said, you know, I'm not differentiating much between Secretariat and a $10,000 claimer. What can you say to someone that's not, you know, as sharp as you are? What would you look for a kind of a first timer?
We all go out in the public. We all see people. We see people that we've known a long time that we haven't seen in a while. When they approach you, you can tell things about that person because you know them. And you can tell whether they're nervous, they're edgy, things like that. Getting to know a horse is like getting to know a person. But also, first impressions are very important. If you go out here and you look at Tacitus for Belmont, he embodies a lot of confidence, the way he moves, the way he acts. You can separate him from the rest. And that's what it's all about. You know, sometimes people make it harder than what it is. Mm-hmm. But if a horse walks by you and he looks really good, that is a sign of your impression of that horse. Mm-hmm. Now, there are little things that you pick up on. Weight, mannerism, how their ears are very important. They go back and forth. If they're pinned, you know, that's not a happy horse. It's mm-hmm. like you go to your cat and he pins his ears. You're not going to touch your cat. You know, you're going to be careful, or your dog. But with horses, the same way. Their ears tells a lot about their emotion. Their ears also are a judge of things at a distance, and they judge things at a distance. So sometimes you hear horses with their ears up like this, straight up like this, and they don't move. It's like your dog looking at something in the distance. He's alarmed. That's something to keep to know that. The ears back and forth tells me they're listening to their rider. They're listening to the rider saying, what do you want me to do? I'm ready to do whatever you want. Just let me go, or just tell me. I'll do what you want. And I love that in horses. Mm-hmm.
I know when we talked the other day, I overheard you saying your best bet of Thursday turned out to be comical in the Schuylerville, and she won for Doug O'Neill, and Javier was aboard, I believe. What did you see with her? Because horses, you're seeing a lot of horses that don't necessarily post published workouts. They might just be getting their exercise and things like that. What did you see from her that said it's go time on Thursday?
Well, the one thing that I think that makes us stand out is that I have a dedicated person that does all the markings for me. So in other words, when we produce our work tap sheets, I have all the markings on every horse. So I can look at a horse at a track and then in the morning look for it in the gallops. Mm-hmm. So not only on a shipper, I had seen workouts on video on Comical. I'd seen her race. My head of West Coast operations, Brian Lazarica, was touting the horse, telling me the horse is really outstanding. And I went and watched the race myself that she broke her maiden. She was on the wraps. I knew she had more. Knowing the Doug O'Neill group, I know how they train. I watched the way she trained. She was fit. That track at Santa Anita is this deep, so mm-hmm. you know they're fit coming over. And I got to see her gallop. When I saw her gallop, I went, okay, that's the horse mm-hmm. right there. Because it embodied everything I wanted to see in a sharp horse, ready, fit horse, ready to run. And I thought she was the best horse in the field.
Right. Without giving the product away today, anybody today that I know we talked about Prosperity. She's a horse you've seen. For Graham,
it's the eighth race.
The eighth race, the three horse Prosperity. You saw her not working, but you've seen her up close and personal.
Yeah, and I try to pay attention to horses that are galloping, that are coming by me, especially from barns that just shipped in. Mm-hmm. I want to get a feel for that barn, what they look like, how they move. And she's a Tappet. She's a Tappet filly, 3 year old. She's starting her career late, but I just noticed that she is a pretty filly. Pretty mover, and having and here's the beauty about it, Brian, is I go out and buy my own horses. I breed my own horses. Ever since I started doing that 10 years ago, I improved 10 times over, and looking at horses and understanding why they come in and out of form, and they come in and out of the sales, and why they cost a lot of money. This is a Gainsway bred filly that they kept.
Right.
So she's a three horse with Trevor McCarthy on. For Graham Moe, she's 8-1 in a field that I think that I think can be won on the dirt. There isn't any monsters in there, especially the 3 and up. There's a reason why they're 3 and up.
Right.
If she goes out there and does, she had a 13 change work over there, and she had a 1-1 out of the gate, and he brings his own rider. I got a feeling today he's saying, "Hey, I want to do something with this filly, get her to run."
A lot of my guys swear by your product, and the thing I like about it too is that you are very diligent assigning you have a star rating, and you know, you don't look at 50 horses and 32 of them are 4 stars. It's always like, you know, oh, Bruno 4-starred this horse today. So you are very diligent, and you need to earn it to get a big rating. Yeah. And I think that's, you know, as a guy that has seen your reports before, and anybody out there thinking about, you know, jumping aboard, I recommend it, because to me that really speaks volumes of you really like this horse, because you might look through a Saturday card, you might see 7 4-star works, and I think that really separates them to me, as opposed to somebody say, "Oh, this horse worked great," and you look and you see 35 of them. I don't take that as seriously.
I agree with you, 100%. I sat in the infield at Del Mar in 1985, and I was handicapping. I started handicapping. I was making my own numbers, and I thought, how great would it be just to be able to have workout information? And I looked for it, and I found it, and I couldn't read it, and eventually I got into the backstretch. I eventually started clocking, and I just find that our product is geared for you to make up your own mind. Yes, we do suggested picks. Yes, we do tickets. But we want you to make up your mind. We want you to look at, like, yesterday in the feature race and see that we have a workout from Mr. Haverkamp, a 4-star work on our sheet, third, in all our pick 4, pick 5 tickets. You are the ones that's going to say, you know what, I'm going to bet that horse at 13-1. Bruno likes it with the 4-star work. They got good info on it. And I'm going to go play it in all the pick 4s. And we've had clients that hit it. Whether it's pick first, second, or third doesn't matter. It's what about the information that we give. We want you to make scores. Our product is for you to go play pick fours, pick fives, and make scores.
You mentioned you were late arriving today for a good reason, because you said the turf was open and they were working a slew over there. You threw out some big names. You saw some big horses today that are getting ready for important stakes races. Anybody you saw today before I let you go that kind of said, well, remember him later in the meet, him or
not? Tacitus worked today for Belmont. I think he worked with Yoshida. We don't get the times. We don't get the names of who's working. We have to ID on the fly. Coldfront was out today. It was very impressive. I got my book here that, you know, if you try to read it, it's Chinese hieroglyphics, you know, that you go through and... I don't think it comes across, but, for example, this is one of our pages here, and if you can read that, you know, good luck to you. It makes sense to me. It makes sense to me from the standpoint that I have my own little notations and things. Yoshida went 37-1, 48-4, 101, going from the half down to the 5/8 and down to the 7/8 on the Oklahoma track, and then galloping out. What I liked about it is the horse went 11-3. In mid-stretch and was in control the entire way. Just looking at, you know, I had Global Campaign today.
Oh, sure. Coming
to Jimmy Hendrix. Yeah, I had him 48-3 from the half-mile pole. I thought he looked great. He probably went 5/8 and 101. I thought he looked fantastic. He's a horse that people have forgotten.
Yeah, Jim Dandy, he won the Peter Pan, the prep for the Belmont down at Belmont, and passed on that race, passed on, I want to say, the Ohio Derby, but I did see this morning... eyeing the Jim Dandy, and he's a nice up-and-coming horse, Dan Huff, Sagamore Farm.
And so. Chad Brown had, I believe, and I'm hoping I'm right, I'm usually 100%, I'm about 90% right when I call it on the fly. Highest Honors worked for Chad on the main today, and he looked really good. Chad had quite a few that worked today. Let's see, just flipping through. King for a Day worked.
Okay.
Johnny V was on the outside, I want to say, Just Right is the name of the horse of the other Pletcher. But King for a Day went 25, 49-2, 101, went out in 15-1. I think he'll probably get a 49 or a 101, but he really went 3/4.
Okay.
So that's a few horses.
Bruno DiGiulio. Bruno DiGiulio. Bruno with the works. Check it out. Like I said, I've used it. I have guys that swear by it. Bruno, I want to give you this for stopping by. It's a $100 gift certificate.
Oh, wow.
Jacob and Anthony's in town. I know you like your restaurants.
Fantastic.
So take that and enjoy it. And really quickly, before we go, you and I are partners, partnering with Stuart DeVoe over at the Embassy Suites for a really good charity. I think we've got the copy of, talk really quickly about what Stuart and you, I mean, I'm in it with you, but you and Stuart are driving this train over at the Diamond Club Embassy Suites, handicapping for horses, real quickly.
12 handicappers, 3 picks a day from those handicappers. You get 36 horses. You can go pick up the free sheet at the Embassy Suites, Diamond Club, every day. Just all we ask is you drop a donation in the donation box. $1, $2. You do good at the track, drop money in. And look at it as karma. You drop some money in for Thoroughbred Aftercare, you're going to have luck at the track.
They found two damn good pictures of you and I. I don't know where I got to pull them
listen,
out.
Listen, I can't match archives. You. No way. So maybe in my 30s and 40s. And no way.
Bruno Giulio, we want to thank him so much for stopping by. It's going to wrap it up here. Saturdays at the Spa. Of course, before we let you go, again, we want to thank Pinnell's back again this year. Jake Van Anthony's as well, but Pinnell's right over across the street, 284 Jefferson, open 7 days a week. Great Italian food, great portions as well. I can eat a lot of food, and I'm usually bringing something home from Pinnell's with me. So always appreciate their help over the years at Capital OTB. There it is right there. Since 1922, and they haven't lost any speed. Thanks so much. One down. Get over here today, folks. Diana Day, an absolutely all-star renewal of one of Saratoga's best and most historic races. Brian Natto with you. Anthony Mormino coming up in a little bit around noon. He's got the bankroll today. I will see you next week. Good luck. Get out here at the track.
You've been watching Saturdays at the Spa with Brian Nadeau. Saturdays at the Spa has been brought to you by CapitalOTBBet.com, New York's premier wagering site. CapitalOTBBet.com. Sign up today. The new Capital mobile app. Wager anywhere, anytime. Download it free from the iTunes Store or Google Play. And Pinnell's Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, just minutes from the track.